Welcome to Career Tools. This week, choosing a career, the myth of the lightning strike. The questions this cast answers are, how do I choose a career? How do I know which career is right for me? And how do I know I've made the right choice?
Folks, we don't do as many of our virtual effective communication conferences as we do VEMCs. And so a lot of people ask us to let them know when we're doing our next one. Our next virtual effective communicator conference is March 4th. It starts pretty sure at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Sarah is leading it. For all of us, virtual effective communicators, our favorite presentation, because it's so exciting to see people's learning process and how much they gain out of the session. So if you're interested in the ECC, of course, virtual products are less expensive. Send us an email or come to the website and sign up. Hope to see you there.
Sarah, I don't know how many times you've been asked, but I've been asked so many times I can't count. What career should I choose? From someone who's, you know, 16, 17, 18, maybe leaving university, 22, 24.
Right.
They say, what career should I choose? And I say, it doesn't matter. And then they're really confused.
Right.
And it's hard when you're that age. I remember being that age and being convinced I was going to go work in a bank and do a graduate work scheme. And when I look back now, I'd have hated it. And I'd never have got to where I am now without all of the weirdnesses that happened on the way. And I think when you get to, 20 years into your career, you realize that actually it doesn't matter, which we will explain because that still will be really confusing to people. And, you know, you have everything to choose from. So how do you choose?
Oh, everything. Exactly.
You know, and the other thing is that, you know, there's people who say, I knew when I was three that I was going to be a doctor. And you're like, I'm 21 and I have no idea what's wrong with me. And there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with them. So.
All right. So our outline for today's cast. We're going to start by discussing don't choose your career. Then we're going to talk about choosing your job, getting results, building relationships, and letting you know that there is an undo button.
Yeah, most people don't know that either. So the first part of how do I choose a career is don't, which is very confusing. Mark and I were discussing this. We're calling this the anti-career career cast. and the reason the answer is don't is because it's a myth that people do. The vast majority of people don't choose a career and they have wonderful, productive, enjoyable careers, you know, when they look back on them when they're 60 or 65 and they're retiring, that they say it was wonderful and they didn't choose it. So it's really bad. It would be bad guidance of us to tell you how to choose or to choose when we know that the vast majority of people don't. And we don't want to burden everybody with that feeling at 21 or 22 or 16 or 18, like you are about to make the single choice of your career and it will last for 45 years or however long it is.
You better
I've said this before. My dad joined British Airways, which was BOAC at the time. When he was 15 and a half, he was obsessed by aeroplanes.
Okay.
He was 15 and a half and he worked there until he retired at 65. And he's the only person I know who did that. He's like the worst example for this. Everybody else I know just fell into something, or they started something and decided they didn't like it, tried something else, or someone walked up to them one day in the office and said, I think you'd be really good at, like, Mark left the army, went to, having commanded troops in the field, you know, it's a singular kind of job, and someone said you'd be really good at sales, and he was, and he still is, but that's not what he would have picked. Someone told him try this and he did. So for some people, they have the lightning strike. They have that moment at three when they know they're going to be a doctor, or they have an obsession with animals and they know they're going to be a vet, or they're musicians and they know they're going to be a musician, a singer, you know, or an artist or an actor, or all of those. For some reason, those kind of things come first. There's not many people who say, I'm going to be an accountant when they're five.
Yes, exactly. Who's out there saying, oh, you know what I want to be? A middle manager. Nobody said that.
Nobody said that. Exactly. And yet the vast majority of people in the workforce are middle managers. So there are people for whom there's a moment in childhood, there's a person, often teachers inspire people, an experience or a location that gives them total certainty about what they want to do. I tell the story of Dana, who's one of Mark's really good friends. Dana's one of the nicest people in the world. And he told me this story that when he was on a break from college, like during the summer break, he worked at a pharmacy and it was one block from the beach and it was a pharmacy and like people came in and left and he, you know, did whatever you can do if you're an intern in a pharmacy, and he loved it. And then he went to pharmacy school and now he owns a pharmacy one block from the beach and he's one of the happiest people I know. But that doesn't happen to hardly anybody. And until that moment, until he was there in the pharmacy and working there and seeing how it worked, he had no idea that that was of any interest to him whatsoever.
Right? I'd almost suggest that that wasn't a lightning strike. That was just luck, like most of us.
Exactly.
Right? We stumble into our career, just like a real lightning strike. This is super uncommon for people to have this Dana-like epiphany. It just, I want to be this when I grow up, and I'm going to buy a pharmacy right by the beach, and this is who I'm going to be forever, and then love it. The majority of people take that weird meandering path, right? They fell into it. They started doing something. Now, they didn't love all of it. They loved part of it, though. So, in their further job searches, right, in their seeking for their new role, because we all want change over time, they choose a role that has more of the things they loved and less of the things they didn't love. And our experience allows us to make those choices, right? Choosing to do the things we love now that we know we love them. Because you didn't know when you were in high school that you loved it. How would you know that? You've never been a pharmacist assistant before. Right. There's no way for you to know you would want to be one unless you do it.
I think when I was 21 and choosing a career, podcasts didn't even exist.
Right, they didn't exist.
In fact, probably the internet didn't exist. I mean, it did exist, but in a very limited way. So I couldn't have chosen this because I wouldn't have known what it was.
Right. Just the change of technology and the pace of it. I would suggest that the majority of people in the world today are doing jobs that didn't exist when they were born.
That's true. Yeah.
In that you can't know. You can't know what's around the next corner. You can't know what careers will be in the future. So choosing today something that you're going to do at 20 and still love when you're 30 and still love when you're 40 and not have to iterate on it a few times is nearly nonsensical. For example, at 20, you might love programming. But at 30, you might decide you want to be the manager of programmers or a project manager, or there's some other niche or some other technology or something else that you want to learn more about. You want to become an expert in a certain type of programming language. All of these things exist. The first thing you choose is very rarely the one you'll choose forever.
Mm-hmm. Even my dad, he was an apprentice as an engineer. And so he first worked directly on aeroplanes, engineering them, whatever you do, like maintaining them. And then they moved him to Concorde because Concorde had just been put into flight. And then he did a few other jobs. He worked in Maintrol, which is kind of the operations of an airline. And then the last job he did was being responsible for the Queen's flight, so the airplane that the Queen flies on. They're all completely different jobs, even though he stayed at one place for his whole entire career and was obsessed by airplanes the whole time. You know?
Absolutely.
And he was always close to airplanes, but he was doing different jobs.
Yeah. I had somebody in my conference in DC last week. She was a veterinarian. And after a time, started working with a National Veterinarians Organization, and over time, became a lobbyist in Washington. I mean, it's a
wow.
It's a theme. And it's always focused on animals and animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
But don't fool yourself into thinking that those aren't drastically different jobs. All of those.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So if you're hoping that lightning will strike and Morgan Freeman's going to do his voice of God, you shall be. I can't do it. And tell you what your entire 40, 50-year career is going to be. You're, as Mark would say, smoking crack.
Yeah.
You're going to be waiting forever. The people for whom, like Dana, where he had that moment of clarity, this is what I want to do, and then he spent the rest of however long it took until he had it, making that happen, is just so rare. But what happens is people write about it. You know, if you read a biography of Bill Gates was sneaking into computer rooms to program when nobody was there. And so it feels obvious that he would end up running a computer company. Right. Although if you think about it, sneaking into computer rooms to program and running a worldwide company are two quite different things.
Completely.
You know, but people write about that as if, oh, it was obvious. Yeah. And then you feel when you don't have that obvious thing, that you must be doing something wrong. And you're not. And the other thing is that when you're at university or you're at school and there's a career seminar or there's informational interview, if you go there, you don't get struck by lightning. That's not how it works. Like, they don't like somehow concentrate all the lightning in that room. That's not where you're going to find out what your career is. You'll find out information about different careers, which might make you more or less interested in finding a job in one of those places. But if you think that you're going to go to a career seminar and be struck by lightning and have that moment, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. So instead, then we say, choose a job. Instead of hoping to be hit by lightning, this thing that almost never happens and causes us to feel badly about ourselves, just choose a job. I mean, it's how the vast majority of us did it. All the people who are not struck by lightning, which is the vast majority of us, choose a career, or choose a job, I should say, and make a career of it. People choose jobs. Sometimes they don't even actually choose a job. I mean, that's happened to me multiple times, right? Or you interview with a bunch of companies and you only get one offer. So you don't even choose your job. Your job chose you. You don't have options. It's all right to start without any other options. We're all growing. We're all changing. And then once we have that job, we get to prove ourselves, right? We can do good, hard work and turn our jobs into our career. Our jobs allow us to help us figure out what we're good at, what we're not good at, what we like, what we don't like. And after a couple of years, we can then choose another job that's an even better fit and then do the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like, work hard. Find out what you're good at. Find out what you're not so good at. Decide what you like, what you don't like. And after a few years, it all happens again. Right? And it keeps going through your entire career. It does.
And when you look back on it, when you join the dots backwards, as Steve Jobs said, it looks like a career. But it never was when you were working forwards. It was just... I went from here to here. It makes me think of a road trip. You know, if you plan a road trip, if you planned a road trip from the West Coast to the East Coast along the I-10, right? You go, okay, I'm in LA. My next stop is Phoenix. My next stop is El Paso, Houston. You know, you would think of the cities along the way.
Yeah.
But that's a planned route out, right? But you could equally do that by leaving LA on the I-10 and stopping when you'd had enough of driving,
right?
And you'd still be in roadside Phoenix, motel, right? And if you did that and then looked back on it, it would look like a planned road trip, but it never was. It was just like, oh, we got in the car and drove, and stopped wherever it looked interesting, and we were hungry or we were fed up with driving.
Exactly. If you think all of those people who you look at now, like the Steve Jobs, chose the end of the end career at the very beginning, you're wrong. I mean, they didn't know either. They started doing stuff and they had a hobby. So they created a company out of their garage and they crossed their fingers and hoped it worked. And it did. And things grow and evolve. No one that you look at today as being at the top of the organization and successful and these huge figures knew 20, 30, 40 years ago what this was going to grow into. So as young people hoping to be struck by lightning, it causes you to be more passive. That is, when you're waiting for that struck by lightning moment and you're in a job that you don't think is that route, it causes to treat it like, oh, this is the job I hear right now till I figure out.
Yeah.
This is, I'll figure out what my passion is. Until then, I'm just going to waste time here. Right?
It's kind of like renting an apartment. So, oh, well, I'm not going to decorate because I'm going to be renting. And then you've been there 5 years and you're like,
still nothing on the wall.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should have really decorated.
Right? Exactly. You don't put in effort. Why would you? I mean, it's just temporary. And that's a mistake because it's not temporary, that job that you think means nothing and doesn't feed your passion. It's part of your career. And you might get struck by lightning later. But you got there because of the building blocks that you're engaging in today.
Yeah. And even if it is temporary, even if, like, you know, they said, we need you to do this job for 2 weeks, that doesn't mean you can't learn something from it.
Oh, yeah.
If you are paying attention and putting some effort into it. So I was looking for examples of this, and I found apparently Michael Dell worked in a Chinese restaurant when he was a teenager.
Okay.
And
like many do.
He did, yeah, as a dishwasher. And he said the best part of it was the wisdom of the restaurant owner, which he could capture if he came to work a little early. The owner took great pride in his work and cared about every customer that came in the door. So Michael Dell is working as a dishwasher in a Chinese restaurant. He's coming in early to watch the guy who owns the place. Like, you know. And he's 12, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know quite how he was working at 12. That would have been illegal when I was 12. But anyway, but he discovered something really important about customers and the way to treat them, and then later developed a company that completely changed the way that computers were bought and built and how you got them, that was super customer focused in a way that they'd never been before. So he used that experience to basically build what you see now.
Right.
And if you look at it now, you think, oh, he was struck by lightning. He had this amazing idea about how he could upend the computer sales model. And the answer is, no, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He was a dishwasher in a Chinese restaurant.
Right.
He took a job, he worked hard, he paid attention to what was going on around him, and he applied that knowledge at the moment when he could build a company on, the moment when he had that chance to use that knowledge, he applied it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, guys, stop thinking that you're supposed to be hit by lightning and worrying that you're disadvantaged because you haven't been, and searching for never endlessly that passion that you can't seem to achieve. The keys to success are not relegating yourself to a being struck by lightning moment to give you a calling. Instead, it's doing ethical work, serving others, constantly improving yourself, finding the 10-minute moments before the Chinese food restaurant opens, mm-hmm. right? Having the courage to treat all of your jobs, no matter how menial you think they might be, as if they're part of or the building blocks of your career, and strive to be good at them. Get everything you can out of them, even if you think there's nothing to be taken from it, there is. So that when you're 50, you can say washing dishes was the key to your success.
I have to say washing dishes was one of my favorite jobs.
I like washing dishes too. I mean, I like cleaning.
You can see your effort in a way that a lot of later jobs you can't, right?
Yeah.
There is a stack of dishes, you wash them, they're clean.
It's immediate gratification.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it's creating order out of chaos, which I later realized is something I really like to do. And I still do that now. But I wouldn't have known that when I was washing dishes.
No, of course you wouldn't have.
But I can see it now. So don't be afraid of making the wrong choice, because there isn't a right choice. There's no wrong choice because there isn't a right choice. The right choice is just making a choice.
Just making a choice.
It's fine. Take a job. That's all you have to do. And then choose to do it well. Mm-hmm. Choose to pay attention. Choose to take what you can from it. Even if you have the worst boss in the world.
Right.
It doesn't matter because you're learning something about how not to be a
exactly.
boss. Or, you know, if you've got the worst job in the world, it doesn't matter because you're learning something about what jobs you don't want to do. So it just choose a job. That's all you exactly. have to do. And then choose to do it well.
Folks, we've been working on delivering more product more quickly over the last 10 months because of the demand we're dealing with. It's part of the reason we hired an extra presenter. And we have figured out how to deliver our effective manager training for clients in only 3 sessions rather than 4. So you could argue that it's a 25% saving in time. It's not quite that. Each session is a little longer, but a lot of clients have said to us, gosh, if we could just make it a little bit easier and make it 3 sessions rather than 4. And so we figured out a way to do that with the agendas. It's not easy because if you cram everything into too little time, the agenda gets messed up and people don't do well in terms of their learning outcomes. But we've done it. We're excited about it. So after April 1st, so that's less than 7 weeks away, every single effective manager training for clients will be 3 sessions, unless you want 4, which we can also do. Hope you'll send an email to maggie@manager-tools.com and ask her about it.
Talking of doing it well.
Yeah, exactly. How do we do that? We get results and we build relationships. Now, I know, broken record over here. If you've heard us say it once, you've heard us say a million times on Career Tools that results and relationships are the key to success. And neither are difficult. Neither are reserved for the chosen few. It's not a lightning strike to do a good job and build good relationships, whatever you're asked to do. Do it to the best of your ability and listen to the feedback you get. Take it in, absorb it, do better next time, do differently next time. Pay attention to what you do well and what you don't do so well. What you like doing, what you don't like doing. Talk to your friends about what they like to do and what they don't like to do. Instead of hanging back and waiting and delaying and waiting for another person to tell you what you're good at, instead of waiting for your annual review to find out where your success areas are, push forward. I think we did a podcast not even that long ago about asking for feedback from your boss. Give that one a listen too, right? Elicit that feedback as well.
And people give you feedback in all sorts of ways, which is not spoken. Like, you can tell whether or not someone likes working with you or you're doing work that's useful to them or helpful to them. In part because if you're not getting praise, you're not getting feedback. Right.
Right.
That because people don't like giving negative feedback. So silence is often negative feedback.
That is accurate. That's a really good point, Wendy.
And of course, you know, there's all sorts of theories. You'll hear all sorts of theories about why this person got promoted and that person got onto that project. And it's just because they know there's somebody in the, you know, whatever. And it's not true. I mean, it is true sometimes, but the vast majority of the time, people get promoted because they work hard and they have good relationships. So don't like...
Right.
You don't need to be Machiavelli. Yes, I think. Machiavelli, you don't need to be, you know, some suck up. You just need to work hard. And you can't get results at the expense of the people around you, right? The reason that it's get results and build relationships is because that's a kind of seesaw, a teeter-totter, and you have to have both, because if you're at one extreme or the other, that's not going to help you at all. But be helpful and a pleasant person to be around, and that will ensure that you have supporters when you need to get something done or you need to get... Or you want to get promoted. Like, people around you, if they like working with you and someone says, hey, do you think this person should be a team lead? That people will say yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Getting results and building relationships is where we find our meaning and purpose. That is, you've probably heard the allegory that a traveler in medieval times comes up upon a stonemason at work and says, what are you doing? And That guy looks weary and unhappy and responds, "Can't you see I'm cutting and laying down stone? My back is killing me. I can't wait to stop." And he continues and comes up on a second stonemason and asks that one, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm building a wall. And I'm grateful to have the work so I could support my family." And he turns, he keeps walking, and he comes upon a third stonemason who is doing the exact same work as the previous two. And he says, "What are you doing?" And that man stands up straight. His face is glowing and radiant. And he looks up at the sky, spreads his arms, and says, "I'm building a cathedral." And I mean, all three of those people are doing the same work. They're laying the stones of an edifice, right? But the story they tell themselves about their purpose, then they tell this traveler about what they're doing, about the labor they're engaging in, is shaping the quality of and how they feel about their work.
And it doesn't matter what company you end up working for, where you end up working, you're contributing to the well-being of society, right? Even if you're working in a factory making socks and all you're doing is folding them and putting the cardboard on. Actually, a robot probably does that.
Probably.
But, you know, but think about how miserable life is when your feet are cold. Like, I remember when I went to university, one of the wise pieces of wisdom my mum told me was, never get cold, it makes you miserable. Put your socks on.
Put your socks on.
But, you know, every pair of socks makes someone happy.
It does.
Keeps their feet warm. And so if you think about it that way, then you're like the cathedral builder. You can find the meaning and the purpose. Even if it's like, when I was washing dishes, I just liked having done it and having them clean out the other side.
Right?
I liked being able to see a clean pile of dishes. And I don't know, maybe other people would have thought it was the worst job in the world, but I really enjoyed it because I liked seeing a nice clean pile of dishes.
Right. And it helped other people.
Yeah, exactly. All those people that were stopping at the restaurant, it was one of those places that was on a road, so people would stop when they were traveling. And so all those people got fed and then got to wherever they wanted to go to.
Right.
It was good. And the final bit of really good news, I think, is that there is an ending button.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't think anybody knows this, or I think everybody knows it, but nobody says it. There is an undo button. If you don't like whatever your first choice was, there are very few things in this world that can't be undone. Like, the only thing I can think of is having a baby, like, because you can't give those back.
Yeah.
But most things, and it might take some work, it might take some effort, life might be difficult for a while, but mostly nothing is undoable.
Right.
People start careers and they think they'll love them, and then after a while they hate them, or they decide, like, I can't do this, this isn't me, and they change careers. Or they go back to school, or they plan a path to decide to go better, or they move. I moved to California, hated it, moved back.
Right.
And all it took was the money to pay a delivery truck and convince my dad to come and move with me.
Exactly. And he's your dad, so he's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He gets free flights. What's he going to spend them on?
Yeah, he does get free flights.
But, you know, if you start asking people, or if you start paying attention to people, you'll find a lot of people have used that undo button. They've started something, they've started somewhere, either the job they're doing, the kind of company they're working for, the location they work in. And then they thought, do you know what? I don't like this. Or this isn't me anymore. I've changed and this doesn't satisfy me anymore. And they do something different. And, you know, it's harder to get a job if you don't have an obvious path.
Yeah.
So you know, if you are an engineer, if you're an electrical engineer and you suddenly decide that electrical engineering isn't what you want to do and you want to do product design, which mm-hmm. is a little, it's similar skills, but it's a little bit off. Yes, it's slightly harder when you go to interviews and people say, yeah, but what experience have you got?
Right.
And you say, well, I was an electrical engineer, so you have to kind of squint, but this is it. The person who is more obviously qualified, so the person who's already done product development, has a leg up over you. That doesn't mean that you can't convince someone to give you that job. It just takes a little bit more work. And
right.
plenty of people have done it before you. So it might not be easy to change, but there is an undo button. So you don't need to worry about making the wrong choice, because you can make a different choice later. And interviewers will just say, oh, yeah, I see that. Or
exactly. You
know? And often I find when I was doing this, changing my mind every 5 minutes, interviewers would say, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I started doing this and I hated it. So now I do that. And so they completely understand because they did it too.
They did it too. Almost all of them did it. Exactly. Yeah, the beauty of the approach, guys, that we're recommending is that you haven't freighted your choice with the weight of a lightning strike. It puts a lot of pressure mm-hmm. on your job, right? If you've announced to the world, this is what I meant to do, and you make a mistake, we feel like it's disappointing, right? And that tarnish of that disappointment won't leave you. You'll feel embarrassed. You'll all the silly things done out of pride in this world. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you take a job, work hard, do well, and then decide it's not for you, it's not a huge deal. And what's more, no matter how carefully you plan, even if you did have, I am meant to do this forever, and you sought out that track, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. No. Right? I mean, the best laid plans will change.
Like, and your job is the same as you thought it was in the
exactly.
interview.
Exactly. 100%. Like, I mean, the trick to adulthood, guys, is not planning it out perfectly because you're going to fail. I mean, no matter what you plan out is not going to work. It's just, it's being able to adapt, right? When your plans change outside of your own control, it's being able to roll with the punches, right? Everything from a volcano to an economic crash can affect your career. And thank you. And a pandemic. I mean, who planned for this?
No.
Nobody. And you will, we guarantee it. I hope it won't be another pandemic, but you will be forced to change your plans and you might as well learn how to do it.
Yeah, learn how to manage change yeah. rather than, I don't know, some other very specific skill around planning
yeah.
And you'll do better in life. The secret, if there is one, to a long and happy career is not the career, it's you. It's
yeah.
not what you're doing and where and for whom and why. It's you. It's if you make up your mind to be,
yep.
you can be unhappy anywhere.
You can.
Believe mm-hmm. me, I'm one of those people. I can make myself unhappy in about 3 minutes flat. But if you make your mind up to be, you can be happy anywhere too. Work hard, be nice, and at the end of the day, be proud of the work that you're doing,
whatever it is.
That's the secret.
Exactly.
I hope we put some minds at rest.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.